The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
There's Sons of Apollo for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning to Radio Memphis Around the World with me, D, coming home off of their album that just dropped yesterday, October the 20th, Psychotic Symphony. And of course, you guys know that is Mike Portnoy, Derek Sherinian, Billy Sheehan, Jeff Scott Soto, and Ron Bumblefoot Thal. And of course, you guys, if you tuned in this past Monday night, we had an absolute blast with Bumblefoot, man. We were cutting up. It was so crazy. And if you happen to miss that, we do have it on Radio Memphis On Demand. You actually can go to radio-memphis.com and check, you know, and actually pull up the Memphis Metal Monday page, you know, and actually take a look. And actually, if it's probably right on the front news page, and you can snag it for Radio Memphis On Demand and you can listen to it, because it was absolutely off the charts hilarious. So very good stuff. And of course, you know, the album itself, Psychotic Symphony, has come out with already rave reviews. It's been a big, everybody's been waiting on this one. And on their Facebook page, so for Sons of Apollo, they say, thank you all for the incredible release day response to the Sons of Apollo album. So far, the comments have been off the charts. And if you guys want to know more, and if you guys want to try to snag you with one of those albums, go ahead and go to sonsofapollo.com, and you'll get to figure it all out and see all the cool interviews and all that good stuff. And if you do it because you heard it here, yeah, that's right, you guys know the deal. Make sure you tell them D said hey. All right, you guys are tuning in to Radio Memphis Around the World. We're having some fun, and not only are we having some fun, We're getting ready to do a Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series alert. That means that I've got somebody I'm going to be talking to, and I'm going to share that conversation with you. All of this brought to you by Radio Memphis and Ken Barr Films. And what we're doing is that we're bringing insight, you know, to the table for all of our emerging artists and entertainers by actually sitting down with people that are the pros from behind the scenes, okay? Behind the scenes from that awesome live show that you've seen, behind the scenes from that awesome record that you just purchased, behind the scenes, you know, from, you know, that insanely cool concert that you just got back from. And there's a lot of magic that goes on, you know, with that. And of course, you know, one of our jobs is to bring that to the forefront, have fun, and get to know some of the people, you know, that do these things. So for today is really cool for me, because I get to talk to a chick, and so we get to have girl talk, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be talking with a lady by the name of Evan Gray. Now, with her 20 plus years of experience as a producer and a logistics production manager in live event and concert industry, she's done everything, okay, from the opening and closing ceremonies of the Olympics to product launches for Microsoft. She's done coordinating and executing some very extensive shows for the automotive and technology, as well as pharmaceutical industries, and she's just a ton more. She's been part of, you know, major productions with music acts like Alabama Shakes. She's done stuff with Black Keys, Morning Parade. She's done stuff with Eclectic Method, John Bon Jovi, Imagine Dragons, and as Train. How about that? She's even been able to help big events like, you know, the VMware Global Parties, you know, and special events that they do. She's done the BOMA of Greater Los Angeles 100th Anniversary Bash, GoDaddy's All-American Themed Holiday Parties, the Shrines Auditorium Gala Awards Dinner, and she's done all, you know, she's made all of those things help, you know, come to life with her expertise. She's been recognized herself by BizBash Magazine with awards for Best Special Event, Producer of the Year for VMware, as well as being Best in Logistics and Best in Spectacle for her projects. Now, what's really cool, because I've actually spent a lot of time, we've become like fast friends. I think this, like I said, this lady is amazing. What you may not know is that Evan Gray, she actually really got her start in the film industry before she was discovered that she had pretty much liked the world of live events. And she ultimately, from that point, decided to dedicate herself to pretty much perfecting the art of producing. Now, what's even cooler is that at one point growing up as a child, not even Christopher Reeve, Superman himself, practicing swordplay in the backyard with her dad, convinced her that film industry was better. She wanted to be a producer, and she wanted to make sure that she came into live events. And so with no further ado, because I can continue on about this incredible lady, I'm going to bring Evan on with me right now. How you doing, baby?
I'm here. Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. I am very good, honey. Thanks so much for stopping down your day and hanging out with me right here in Radio Memphis.
Thanks for having me.
Are you kidding? Dude, So you mean check dudette? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We should count how many times we say dude on this interview.
We're supposed to be chicks. I know. This is cool. It's just you've done so many amazing things, and you know what's beautiful, Evan, about what you've done is that some of the guys, you know, that I've been able to talk to, and of course, you know, I was introduced to you through Dan Stevenson, but you know, being able to, you know, kind of find out a little bit about you and your background, man, you've done some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Definitely. Never a dull moment.
Never. So tell me, so just out of curiosity, you know, everybody that, you know, that's kind of hanging out and tuning in, or of course, you know, we're in the middle of a Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Alert interview right here, brought to you by Ken Barr Films and Radio Memphis. How in the world does a lady like you get even wrapped up? I mean, of course, you know, I want to go back a little bit further in your background as far as, you know, growing up, because, you know, you come by the entertainment industry, quite honestly. You know, so how does all of this start for you?
Well, I think I was really lucky because in my home, being an artist wasn't like, oh, you know, that's fearful. Don't go into that, you know, find a backup way to be, you know, right, whatever right. It was. My parents were like, oh, you want to be an artist? Cool. Like, it was cool in my house to be an artist instead of being told that, you know, like a lot of other people were told to be around artists, that you right. can't really do that, or there's no money, or there's very little chance for you.
Right.
My parents really supported both my brother and I. My brother's a writer too, so we both kind of ended up in the creative industry.
Oh, cool.
My dad started as an actor and became a production manager. My mom was a casting director, so our Christmas parties were just filled with designers and artists, and, you know, it was just in a very eclectic way to grow up.
Yeah.
And it influenced me, a lot, you know, and my parents were very successful in the film industry for many years. And so I think I just got bit by the entertainment bug, if you will, just okay. creativity and not having 2 days be the same. Because I don't do well. And I think a lot of us sometimes fall into this industry out of sheer, please don't have me do the same thing every day, even though you kind of are.
Right.
But then you're really not.
Right.
So that's kind of how it all began, for the most part.
Okay. And I guess it's, you know, it's funny, Evan, because you have all this crazy coolness that's going around in your house, and your parents are part. I mean, dude, I mean, check it out. See, there we go.
It's crazy.
It is. Yeah. It is.
It was. There were definite moments, I'll tell you, that you just kind of go, what?
Like, well, I mean, and that's, you know, because they were so, you know, your family was so ingrained, you know, pretty much, you know, as far as in the film industry and stuff like that. How is it, you know, how is it that you didn't go that route?
Well, that's a pretty simple story. I was given the golden keys to the kingdom, honestly. I could have stepped right into that world. And my problem was, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I can't do, oh, wait, there's a wrinkle in your blouse. Stop everything and start over. I said, oh, my God, it's like watching paint dry. For me, for other people, you know, it's an incredible, you know, opportunity of creativity and really detailing things out, which we do, obviously, in rock and roll and concerts and stuff.
But yeah.
What I love is the thrill of the humanity of mistakes and, okay, what do we do with it in right. that moment, right. in that second, no matter what it is.
Right.
And, I mean, I think that's my biggest, sometimes I got, oh, man, the film, you know, industry would have been great. But I still think I made, for my personality and who I am and what I've been able to do as a result of it, ended up being the best choice for me. Although I don't really feel like I chose it, I kind of think it chose me.
Ah. Well, that's a statement. I mean, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. so everybody's, you know, the whole family's, you know, doing this thing, and you're hanging out, you know, and doing stuff. You've got incredible, you know, not that we, you know, tap into anything, but you've got some really cool people that are rolling in and out of your house. You got actors and everything, and, you know, and, mm-hmm. and all this, and you're just sitting in the corner going, la la la. Okay, this is fun. No.
Well, you know what though? It's anybody's normal. If you were raised around something in your home that was special or different, it wasn't quote unquote a big deal to you. So
correct.
I don't think it's all that different. You know, it is different. Somebody else looking in, but for us, it wasn't. You know what I mean? I don't
that
know.
How to normal.
Say it. I didn't feel different. I just felt like, wow, this is. I knew it was cool. I loved being around the artists. That was fun.
Right, but you know, I mean, it was
normal. My dad did.
Go ahead.
Huh?
I said, no, go ahead.
I had film sets and stuff, you know, with my dad. And I think I was primarily raised on the Walton set growing up. And, you know, we kind of go home and we go over to the studios and hang out. So, I mean, it was an incredible way to grow up.
Wow.
You know, they worked hard. They weren't around a lot. But that's what their world was.
Okay. All right. And again, that was normal for you because that was what you were always around. And so, which was even, I think Evan, it was even kind of better in that sense because also too, is that there's nothing about your choices, you know, that are tainted. You know what I mean? It's like you truly got driven into what you're doing now and you're mm-hmm. completely in love with your world and what you've done. So how does going behind that place and becoming the logistics person and the producer, you know, and everything for live events. I mean, how does that door open for you?
Well, honestly, I started as a PA, even below a PA, if you possibly could be that. I was pretty much like just a runner, not even really a person I started at the bottom of the bottom, and I loved it. And I wouldn't mind carrying craft service or ice chest or whatever the hell it took.
Right.
I loved the environment. I loved the people. And I knew by that time that I wanted to, I thought I'd be more on like the Dan Stevenson side or Ken Kaler, the men I just am awed by, my mentors, you know,
yes.
Like I'd be more on the production manager side, technical director, because there was no women at all. Even when I was a PA, I was usually mostly the only girl. There were a lot of female producers usually, but not a lot of any other positions for women when I first started out.
Right,
so,
right.
I was just into it. I just loved the spontaneity of it and did making decisions on the fly. And that's how I started. And then did that for about 6-7 years and just really literally worked my way up every single, you know, part of the ladder.
Okay.
All the way up. I didn't. So when I, being a producer, production manager, whatever you want to call me now, I have a massive understanding because I didn't just budget for that line item. I don't just know what it needs because I've been doing it forever. I did it. I carried it. I think about how far the poles are. What are you going to have to do? Like,
wow.
So for me, because I know what it's like to look up at a mountain and go, seriously, this is where the game is going to be, you know? And you know what I'm saying?
Like,
and
oh, my
just kinda
God.
Go, okay. and go from there. And I think I was given an incredible gift. And sometimes it isn't always a gift. I try to... is that I have this innate weird ability, just a massive attention to detail. I can, and it's kind
Perfect.
Of exhausting at times, but I can
Perfect.
Look at things and just break it down in a second and go, that's going to break in about 4 months. Or I have a way to see things that I just have an ability to really break something down very quickly.
Wow.
And, you know, solutions. I don't know why. I mean, that's been since I can remember.
Well, I mean, and obviously, you know, because what you're doing now, you're right. It found you because, you know, you honestly do this, you know, you naturally do this. And just, you know, you and I, we spent a ton of time on the phone already. I've already told you. Right now.
Yeah.
We're like fast friends, man. We're total friends now. And what was funny is that, you know, we're sitting there and we sound like two guys, man, going, and then there's this, you know, and I feel like we're supposed to be wearing white t-shirts, you know, Budweiser's and stuff, you know, scratching our bellies going, I know, right? And
yep.
What was...
on the loading dock.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And what was so cool about when we really got to talking, you know, about the stuff, and we're going to get into, you know, some of these projects and stuff that you've done, but, you know, we never talked about it from you being a woman, and this is, and before I go any further, I know those of you who are tuned in, yes, it's a Radio Memphis Road Crew, you know, radio alert and interview, and we're having fun with this. I'm not on that. You and I are in the same boat where it's not like we're not on the, like, it's women and we're strong and you'll hear us roar and stuff. You know,
right,
being a woman had nothing, did not come into the equation of being able to do what you do. You're just like, I just want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and this is what I would, how was it though, you know, how was everybody else receiving of you being that person? Because you said it, there wasn't a lot of women that were doing what you did and what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny. I didn't want to make it about sexism or I'm a woman and I did this 20-something years ago.
Oh.
What I was given was an opportunity, and I don't think it mattered whether I was a woman or a man. I was given an enormous gift by,
Perfect.
Of course, Dan Stevenson, who's one of my biggest mentors ever, and another gal actually named Marley Daly. But Dan Stevenson and Ken Kaler, these guys said, you want to know about power? You want to know about distro? You want to? I was like, I really do, because I wanted to understand it. And
wow.
I really honestly... I knew I was always the only girl. I was kind of used to that, but it was a different thing. It wasn't like the perspective of, like we were saying the other night, you know, I just wanted to do it. And I really didn't care
mm-hmm.
what that meant. I didn't, it just didn't matter to me. I just wanted a really good pair of boots because I knew I'd be on my feet for 18 hours a day. And I know if Dan said to me, pick and move and do this and get this over here, I was going to do whatever it took.
Perfect. Perfect.
You know, and I was washing dogs on the weekends to pay the bills just so I could continue because I knew I was like, I'll starve to do this. I don't know why.
That's
and
awesome.
I never really felt that way about something I was, or being that committed. I was kind of always kind of wishy-washy.
Oh.
But I felt like I was given, the door was cracked 4 inches. God bless Dan, because I didn't just politely open the door. I kicked that sucker wide open. I said, I don't want to look back. I really want to do this.
That is
and I
fantastic.
Earned my space with him. And as with Dan and Ken, Bob McPhee, MJ Theatrical, all those people that kind of really were amazing to me.
Wow.
And everybody's given opportunities. It's what you do with it. Where you go with it,
right,
you know,
right.
And that's about as straight up as I can be on kind of how that all went down. Dan just kept calling me, and I was like, okay, where are we going? Okay, you know?
I'll show up, and that's it. That's 90% of the battle right there is that you showed up, you know.
Exactly.
And that was the thing. So,
and if you fuck up, own it.
Own it.
Where you'd be the first to wave the flag, you know. Nobody's going to think anything less. The best thing is just to own it, and what do you do to fix it? Because in our business, there are going to be mistakes. If everything was perfect, I wouldn't have a job.
If everything
went great and everything stayed on budget and everybody showed up and all the trucks just did their little choreography dance and, you know, I wouldn't have a job.
There would be no need for you. You know, if everybody did what they were supposed to do. So you go on these escapades in the very beginning. And that's exactly, this is how it's all riddling out in my head, you know, with the guys and you're showing up and you're doing this stuff. When you start going to some events, can you sit there and really, can you pinpoint the first event where you showed up and you're like, holy smokes, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. You know, is there ever one that sticks out in your head the very first time you showed up and you're like, wow?
Yeah, it would have to be the 96 Atlanta opening ceremonies and closing ceremonies.
Yes.
I only have one tattoo, and I have a tattoo from that show. Because I earned it.
Yeah, you even branded it for life. Hell yeah.
I wasn't a producer or anything like that on it. I just ran off talent, I ran talent operations, learned a lot about people and moving people and feeding people. And that's when I really went and met some lifelong friends from that show that I still have today.
Oh,
And so that was the moment where I went, okay, I'm in this beyond my neck. And when I came back home, they put us up there for 9 months in Atlanta. And,
oh, my God. Wow.
It was an amazing experience. I had an FBI radio. I had a weather radio. I had a production radio. I had, like, my hips were just one big.
You were connected. At that time, it's about as connected. Yeah, yeah. And so you're doing all of this, and it's a huge event. I mean, how did it impact you?
It changed my entire life, and I just have to mention one more man as a result, which is, there was two other guys, actually. It was Barry Kaplan, who did Windows 95, who was an amazing influence and kind of introduced me to Douglas Sisk. And Douglas Sisk was the head of the production, one of the many production managers, but head of everything on the rehearsals and talent side of the Olympics. And we just dove in and didn't look back. And it's really, I know you hear this, and I don't want to sound L.A. or Hollywood because it's not that, but it really is. How you meet people and where you meet them.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you said that because a lot of people, but you develop these relationships, you know what I mean? And it was mm-hmm. you know, it's different, you know, when you make that statement.
Mm-hmm. And the hardest thing is to look for a job while you have a job, because you're on this gig, you're completely, I call it being Tron'd out, like you're Tron, you're in it. Just,
mm-hmm.
You become it.
God, I haven't heard Tron in forever. That's awesome.
I know.
Yes.
That's how I look at it, though, because you're kind of bouncing around this grid of a gig, and you become it. You breathe it. You, whatever it is you do.
Right.
But, yeah, that's it was just an amazing experience.
Holy smokes. I can't imagine, you know, and I guess it's funny because, you know, you've got all these heavy hifters, lifters and stuff around you, you know, that are very inspiring to you. And so you're absorbing all of this, you know, and you're putting all of this, you know, into effect. And mind you, you know, and for those of you who tuned in, I'm talking to the lovely Miss Evan Gray. It's not just, I mean, it's all different styles of productions and stuff that you're being a part of, you know, whether it's corporate gigs, you know, you've got Olympic stuff, you know, there's music, there's all kinds of things that are you know, ultimately, you know, involved. You know, when you start wrapping your hand and your heads around everything, what are you looking for, you know, when you look at an event? And what are you looking for when you're like, okay, I need to plug in here? I mean, are you getting a feeling?
Well, you and I think I made you, this is the first time I realized you and I would probably end up just to be good friends just because of the things we've talked about prior to this interview. But I've always made a joke. I've always said, what do you do for a living? So many people say, oh my God, that's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And there are definite moments where it's cool. Mm-hmm. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not jaded. I get it. But what I truly, truly, truly do for a living is I go camping.
Bingo.
Period.
Bingo.
If you go camping, if you've ever been camping, what do? You pack your car, you have your water, you have your ice chest, you have your this. You know, is the campsite close to the toilet? Oh, it's not. I'm going to bring my own. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's about literally what you see, what you hear, what you feel. What do you need in that 5 days or maybe 2 days or sometimes a month that you're there?
Yes.
What truly is one human being, aside from talent, your crew, your lighting, your audio, your video, rigging, distro, master electricians, audio A1s and A2s, all the way down the line of whoever makes that happen. Each one of those people needs something.
Yes. Yes.
It costs money. Yep. It's a line item. Yep. But what is it? Okay. Is it craft service? Yeah. Is it a particular meal that they need because they've worked after 10 o'clock at night? You know, you have to break things down. Honestly, I don't want to oversimplify it because it's not easy.
No, it's not.
But I make it simple because I think if anybody does what we do, or anybody that has a big responsibility, I don't care if you're the head of, you know, 80 firemen, you can look at it the same way. What do they need? How can I support them? What trucks, what water, whatever it happens, it's all about that for me on that side. And then that's the linear side. The other side is then you have creative directors, designers, art directors, graphics, all the social media now around everything, marketing everything.
Right.
So you're kind of in two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And I make a joke with the colleague I work with so often now is Tom Bercue, and he's with Tom Bercue Events, and he's really, you know, just a great creative force. And he'll say something, and I'll be like, "Okay, that was a $30,000 sentence. Can we sum this down to make it like a $10,000 sentence?" I really, really, really like that idea.
I love it, don't make it so $30,000. Make it 10.
Yeah. Well, and I think also creative people get a lot of no's from people like me. And it's the way you go about no that keeps the collaboration moving forward instead of stopping it like a freight train and saying, no, we can't do that. Well, okay, we can't do that idea this exact way.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like drapes or blinds. You know, one is easier to put up, the other's a pain in the ass. You know, I really truly try not to say no, but to kind of carve out, maybe it's only the size of a ping pong ball that I can honor that initial idea.
Right.
Sometimes it's a basketball. Sometimes it's huge. And oh my God, guess what? We can friggin' do this one. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the fun part of my gig is it's just a huge collaboration.
It's a ton of stuff, and it's you know, we talk so much about it, you know, and of course you and I were on the phone late last night, you know, just going back and forth about all of this crazy stuff, and it's funny because it makes sense. It's like, okay, what do we need to make this work? Okay, you hungry? You got someplace to lay your head? You thirsty? We good? Okay, next. All right, we got to get this taken care of, and we've got to get this taken care of. And so it wasn't, you know, I don't think you were oversimplifying it by making that statement. I think you were just, you know, you were making it, you know, relatable. All right.
And that's
the thing. And one of the things that I appreciate about you is how you're able to kind of, you know, mastermind a lot of things. And if it's, you know, it's like, okay, let me make you you understand that this is ultimately your idea. This is what you really wanted. I'm just here to help you see it, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is what you do, is that you pull out the vision out of somebody's head and go, this is what you're looking for. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Sometimes if I don't get it, because I can be pretty dense and kind of really A-type sometimes. Sometimes I just don't.
No.
I'm so linear. I really kind of go, oh, my God, I can't understand. But, you know, the funniest part is I'll Google something. I'll write something in. I'll try and figure out what he might say a sentence, and I'll Google this sentence, and I'll Google images, and I'll be like, is this what you're speaking of? Is this what it is? You know, once I get the visuals going and I can really become a part of that idea,
yes,
then it's easier to produce it, to line item it, to break it down, you know, how much green, you know, what needs sets need to be built, is anything moving? You know, what kind of cues, what's flying in and out, you know? And that's where Dan Stevenson, obviously, I don't do that myself. I surround myself with people that are unbelievable experts.
And that's the big thing
in their own right.
Absolutely. And that's a big thing. That's a huge thing. We got some things I want to kind of ask you about here in a few minutes, you know, and some of these, yeah, and actually, you know, some of these productions and stuff that you've done, you know, because I mean, I want everybody to kind of hear, you know, what your takes are on, you know, on some of that. But what I need to do, sweetheart, is I'm going to stop down. I'm going to do a commercial break. And I got to play a song. Okay. So I don't want you to go anywhere. I'm going to place you on hold. And of course I'll bring you back and you'll hear everything on, you know, when you're listening to the station, you know, through the phone and stuff. And I'll bring you back here in just a few minutes. Okay, sweetie.
Sounds good.
All right. For those of you who are tuned in, I'm hanging out for a Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series alert interview right here during Radio Memphis Around the World with Evan Gray. And of course, you know, we're gonna start busting down and breaking open, you know, some of the productions and stuff that she's done, you know, and talk about some fun things. And we got one that I promised, I knew that we were going to have to sit down. We talked about it some last night while we were on the phone. And it's a very, very specific, you know, experience and stuff. And just to make you realize what magic really kind of has to happen, and sometimes what some crews have to go through in order to get some things done. And you guys are not going to believe that, because it also involves, you know, a couple of people that, you know, we've already talked to, you know, during this series. So you guys, you don't want to go anywhere. You are hanging out with me, Dee. It is Radio Memphis Around the World. That's a little Alexa Mello for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning in to Radio Memphis Around the World with me, Dee. The hourglass flips. And as a matter of fact, it did. It just flipped right after the 2 o'clock hour here on Radio Memphis. You guys, of course, you know, she's out of L.A. Speaking of L.A., I happen to be in the middle of a Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series alert interview brought to you by Kenbar Films and Radio Memphis. And, of course, we are talking to the lovely Miss Evan Gray. She's a producer and logistics production manager in the live event and concert industry, and she does a lot of cool things. You know, we've become fast friends, and we're talking about her world, and of course, you know, she's giving us a little insight and what she's got going on. How are you doing, honey? You hanging?
Yeah, I'm here.
She's like, yeah, I'm here. good deal, honey. Well, we're back. I was we're getting into, you know, kind of, you know, I was thinking about, you know, some of the things I kind of wanted to get into, you know, as far as with you. We spent a lot of time talking about, you know, you kind of coming into the fold, you know, with production and everything and all the stuff that you're doing. Just out of curiosity, you know, Evan, when did you really kind of start breaking out on your own and realizing, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this work, and you know, kind of start contracting yourself out and running your own gigs?
Pretty much after the Olympics, I realized that, you know, I just knew that I make a joke to people. I was like, my day rate went up after that gig. You know, we went, I think, I don't know how many months without a day off. We got July 4th off, and I don't know, I think the entire time we were there. And I really learned, and I really realized, okay, now this has got to become a professional, like a business for me. You know, you can get the call, you're a freelancer, you do all this stuff, and then there's another side of it where you just start to really own it all, like when you go into it as the leader, or you go into it as a collaborative effort with somebody that's really a high profile, event like a Jeremy Railton, or the people that do these massively huge creative things, that's when you go, okay, this is what I want to do. It was really quite deliberate. I know that sounds, because I'm usually not that straight up. I kind of tend to be a ping pong ball sometimes, but no. I knew exactly after that this was it for me. That's in every form and however it appeared.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. You know, it's funny you mentioned Jeremy. I talked to him on the series not too long ago, and I told you this last night, man. He's so magical. I just want to say to listen. It's like I want him to read me a book.
Yeah. I would go, what's the air like you breathe? It doesn't do the same thing to me as it does to you.
It's like some magical
stuff. Getting more out of it.
It's like magical stuff, man.
Unbelievable.
He's amazing. And it's funny because I'm so glad you brought him up, because you already know where I'm going. You already know where I'm going. She's like, yeah. Okay, you ready? You ready for this?
I'm ready for the deep breath.
Okay, deep breath in, out. All right, we're good. We're all good. Okay, we're calm and stuff. Man, it's just us talking, right? Look, so...
Oh, yeah, it's all good.
So, there's a particular event that has come up, somewhat in the circles of me being able to talk to some, some of the people on this series, and it has to deal with being in another country, and it has to. I know I'm being an ass. It has to deal. It has to deal with
a small place called Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay. With you in Saudi. So I get this, there's an extremely important event that's going down, and it's actually a pretty magical event. And oddly enough, Jeremy was the one that was able to kind of, finagle this one together. So you kind of, you want to start there?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, I got a phone call from Dan. He's like, how do you feel about Saudi Arabia? And I was like, I have no idea. Really never thought about Saudi Arabia much.
Right.
He's like, well, there's this gig. It's for the 100th anniversary of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And we want you to go. There's two different events. There's a men's event and a women's event, so on and so forth. And we'd like you to head up and kind of drive the boat on one of the events. And I was like, literally, okay. Not really knowing seriously what that meant. I didn't. And that's probably a good thing. I think a lot of my decisions haven't always been, they've been out of, that seems fun. That seems like nothing I'll ever see again. Like, I do have that perception.
Right.
So, before you know it, I don't think we had that much prep on the show. It was a while ago. I don't remember all the details of the pre-pro, but I remember I had to get a book on women in Saudi Arabia, and I had to learn all the rules, and I was absolutely clueless. I mean, so clueless.
Oh, wow.
Riyadh. And I'm not trying to be judgmental here, because I have nothing against Muslims or any of that. Just not who I am as a human being. But it was very difficult being here. I mean, it was really, it really taught me a lot about me, about America, about being a woman, about what goes on there, truly what goes on there.
Wow.
And the happiness and joy that cannot be held back there. It changed me in so many ways. But I didn't happen to have an abaya. That's what they call them in Riyadh, the big black cover your hair and body. And if you're not Saudi, you don't have to wear the face thing. So, and I'm blonde, which is not a good thing to be in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay.
They were supposed to meet us with abayas and stuff, and the gala didn't get there for some reason. So unfortunately, I get off the plane and I'm in jeans and a jean t-shirt. It was not good, And,
oh, wow.
So I'll get onto the production side of it. But one of the things that Dan and I still to this day, whenever I look at him, I always think of it, because on my passport in Arabic, it said working woman. In Riyadh, it's illegal for a woman to work. It's just not work unless you are being bought there to be one of the king's ladies. I'm going to put it that way.
Wow.
So I got separated into this place where they're going to take the women to see. And I'm like, I'm literally against the grass looking at Dan and Ken's like, help me.
Like, I mean, they're in jeans and you're in jeans and a t-shirt and stuff. Do they not realize that you're not exactly that material? I was just like,
oh my God. So from that point on, they had to get a letter from somebody in the royal family. I don't think it was the king. I think it was a couple tiers down. I think it may have been Princess Javier at the time, who had to write this letter, and I had to keep it with my passport. And finally, I got out there. I got in the car. I was like, okay, this is good. I didn't die today. This is great.
I'm back. So,
you know, check in the hotel. I'm like, okay, it's a Marriott. It'll be fine. But then it says, if we fill up and a man wants your room, you will be taken out of your room. And I'm like, okay, so Dan, please get a room with 2 beds if I get kicked out. So you're just learning.
And you're learning.
And not really sleeping well because you're scared. It's different. It's not so much that people were bad to me. They were kind. They were sweet. It wasn't about that. It was just so different, you know?
It's different rules. It's a different country. It's a different thing. So
everything.
The production, you know, for the 100th, the 100th celebration, you know, was very, very different. You've got women, you know, that are having their own ceremonies and versus, you know, men having their other ceremonies and stuff. And so there's also rules and things that have to go with that too, you know, on.
Yeah. I mean, I think what was another huge learning part for all those gearheads out there, just to back up with how you do a gig in Riyadh when there really isn't that time. I know it's way changed now, but we had to get gear from London, from Dubai, before Dubai was really in vogue and cool and how it is now. It was beginning to get that way, but we had to get our gear from all over the place.
Right.
To really support the two events. And you had two separate, completely separate productions going on at once, because women can be in the same room with, like, a one tier, like their father, their brother. You know, they can only do it one tier. If another man is in that space, they can be physically harmed terribly.
Oh, wow.
Being accused of being unfaithful and stuff. So we'd be very protective of the women when we did the show. And during rehearsals, they wouldn't always have their bias on just so they could breathe and move and dance and do all the things that they needed to do.
Right.
So it was we had Marilyn Loewy, who was the LD on it. There was me, there was, and I feel so bad that I can't remember the gal who ran all the projections, which is very unusual. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't want it to be, this is not about women doing this. It was just such an extraordinary experience.
Well, sure.
And, Dan, that's when I really learned about power and distro, because we are in the middle of a desert. I mean, literally, here's that camping thing again.
There it is.
And we had bank after bank after bank after bank of, generators, you know. And again, Dan, bless his heart, you know, he knew all this stuff like the back of his hand. He didn't need to spend all, you know, he would take time with me and walk me around. Okay, what's that one? Is that grounded? Is that this? Is that that? What's that there? What's that going to? And I'd be like, well, I can't breathe in this black abaya, but
it looks like.
But that man spent time with me. And, you know, what are you looking at? What's wrong here? You know, I call them DLRs, doesn't look right. You know, I do that. That's how I look at things. And I learned how to do something affordably, because we couldn't do a lot of crazy, crazy stuff on this gig. And Dan is very creative, again, with Jeremy, doing, you know, different things with fabrics that would grab light, that wouldn't be so crazy to rig and to accomplish. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So, yeah, that's that. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about the spot operators that were really men.
Well, it's whatever. And it's just, you know, I just think it's beautiful that, you know, because you're killing me.
I had to put a couple of guys in drag.
Well, yeah. Well, of course I want to talk about that. Because
don't come out.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, because even, you know, even the guys, you know, and Dan and everybody had told me about, you know, having, you know, you're having to, you know, don this stuff on, because technically they're not even supposed to be around, you know, the women, you know, but they're responsible for, you know, making sure that all of this production, you know, and all of this, you know, stuff in the background is happening. You know, how the hell else are they going to be able to, you know, make this work? And so I just, you know, and I have this vision of these guys with hairy legs and Converse, you know, sticking out, you know, tennis shoes sticking out of a, you know, a dress.
pretty close, you know, that's pretty good.
I just,
you know, I just said this is the deal. If you come out, these women will be hurt. So literally, you can't, if you, I'll tell you when you can come out, you know, and just stay covered. But literally, I mean, that's just the stuff. Again, it's all about creativity. What can you do you know, at the time to make something work. And sometimes it can be dangerous. What we do can be very dangerous, not just because it was in Riyadh, but power and equipment and getting equipment from all different places and Dan making sure the gear's right and it's in alignment and all going in. You know what I mean? It's a huge responsibility also when you're dealing with another country, but
yes,
in general. You know?
In general, it's a huge responsibility. I mean, and of course, you know, going back to, you know, Riyadh and what you guys were doing there, I mean, it's you know, so in the scheme of things, you know, after you got your working papers and after you got the letter from, the, you know, the king, and you're able to exist in the, you know, the ground that you're walking on at the moment, you know, you've also been put into a very, very peculiar position because you wind up being the one that can, you know, deal with, the ladies and what's going on at hand and kind of going the go between. And so, you know, how did that make you feel with all the, you know, all the guys that are ultimately the ones that took you under their, you know, under their wing and, you know, showed you all the ropes and stuff, and then you're the one that gets, like, you're free and clear, you're like, I get to stay over here, you can't. What did that do to your head?
You know, it's funny. I don't know if I thought of it that way. I just thought of it like, this is, I'm going to remember this. And everything I do, I just want to be very deliberate about, very committed to, because I don't know if anyone would speak for anybody else, but when you're in these big gigs, you are in them, and don't mistake me, it's a privilege, but I don't think that way. I think if I did, I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't be able to. I dumb it down and I just go, okay, Ev, what are you best at? What in front of you right now would be the best, you know?
Right.
How's Dan? How's Ken? How's they doing? Because I would help them with the guys' production team too, but I was still doing the girls' side. So we just had this kind of dual thing going on. I just really would dumb it down. I knew what I was doing. I knew it was crazy. I knew it was, for me, really on the rails at that time.
Right.
But I really just wanted to kick ass and take names. I didn't want any interference with the infrastructure of the show.
Yes.
I'm here to do a celebration of 100 years. Do I agree with it? None of my business. Not my place. I'm here to do a job and to do it well.
Wow.
And that's it. Honestly,
and
that goes to any high profile gig,
and,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, Evan, that's the cool thing about you though, is like you're here to take care of this job. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is ultimately, you know, this is. I'm sorry. Don't hate me and don't slap me when you see me, okay? Because I get this vision of like Bruce Willis on Armageddon where he's ready to flip the switch, and you're like, I don't care. I'm just gonna get this done.
Actually, that at times could very well be true.
I just, you know, baby, I love you. Look, I just want you to know that just what just popped in my head, because you're going to get this done, you know?
No matter what, literally, it doesn't matter. It will get done. Whether we can do it a nice way, or we can do it another way, you know, you pick.
we're doing this. I don't even care what your name is, but here's the deal. I'm doing, this is what we're doing, and this is how it's going to go.
Exactly. If you have a better idea, please bring it. I'm open. But other than that, shut up and let's get it done. Just get it done. You know?
Bam.
Respectfully.
Bam, man. I'm going to tell you what, man, you guys learned some stuff from this sister right here. That's what I'm talking about. Out of curiosity, and again, you know, and it was a good thing to bring up, the stuff at Saudi and stuff, and only because, you know, it was a different environment. And this is the thing about what you guys do is that you have to acclimate yourself to wherever it is that you're at and what it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so every place is, every moment, every gig, every concert, every event is different just based upon where you're at, what you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, also, you come into a space where nobody, most of the time, people don't want you there. You come in with this massive footprint.
Yeah.
I mean, you just suck, you know, the air for a while you're there. So you have to have some dignity in the space, no matter where you are. Unless, of course, it's a true concert venue, that's a whole different ballgame. But a lot of the times, if you're in some empty thing somewhere, or you're in close to some neighborhood and you've got a gig out in a meadow on one of the mountains somewhere, you know, that's this crazy thing that we're going to do.
Right.
It's not always that cool when you go in there to the people. They're interested. They're like, what are you doing, you know?
Well, yeah. You're invading their space, you know? And then it's like, okay, are you going to put that tree back where you found it? You know, and
it's
you know, that you have that to deal with, but then on top of everything else is, you know, to make this magical, you know, something event or whatever, you know, idea, video, whatever it is that you're doing, you know, happen and take it, you know, and take it back. You know, I've been through stuff on your website. I've been through stuff on your own pages and some of the pictures and some of the events and stuff that you've done. And it blew my mind away, you know, just to see.
Thanks.
Yeah. No, are you kidding? Look, sister, everything is blank. There's like blank streets and stuff like that. There's nothing there. And then all of a sudden it's like a circus shows up with like all of these tents, you know, all of these, you know, different stop bys so everybody can drop in, you know, and get drinks and bars and stuff like that and have this, you know, musical, you know, neon lights and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, man, she's like created a circus out of thin air.
This in a baseball stadium where they don't like you.
Why?
You know, that's their church. I'm serious. You go to these big stadiums, like I've done GoDaddy, you know, you did big, I can't remember the name, Diamondbacks.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not into sports.
That's okay.
But, you know, like you take over these stadiums and literally this is their church. I mean, you don't mess with it. And that's how you have to go into anybody's space. I don't care where you're at.
Wow.
No matter what, you're going to make a mistake. Something's going to get hit and something's going to happen. You try to avoid it, you know, but it's hard to do a gig in a stadium that's made, let's say, for baseball or, you know, like we're San Francisco Park.
Right.
You know, how many trucks is that? Well, that's 31 trucks in 2 days that have to get in and out of there. How big are they? How do they turn around? How do you get them in there? What's the order of it? You know, and what Dan does, he's like, this is the gear I need. This is when I need it. First, I want the ground covering, then I want this. Let's just say, you know, the technical director will kind of drive that boat of how I plan and support what he needs.
I got you.
Day to day.
I got you.
So, you know what I mean? There are things like that that, you know, you just have to, I've said this a lot. Sometimes I think of it like a camera, like the aperture of a camera. You open it wide. If you're tunnel visioned, that's fine and that's good. You'll be good at whatever you do. But for what I do, I have to have it wide open. It has to be a buck 80 point of view, 180 degrees or whatever, because it can't not have that with what we do. You have to open up.
Yes.
And I find a lot of people sometimes in the business that are incredible at what they do, but they're looking at their toes. You know, they're narrowed into just their world. And I get that. I think that's the mistake that some people make, and it keeps them from growing in this business. If I had any advice, it'd be look up, open up, and look at what's really going on here. I realize you have a problem over here with this light and this generator, and this isn't working, and you need another distro, you need another But open up for a second. Look over here. We have this little problem. We'll be over there. You know, it's just, if I could give any advice, that would be,
That would be
open up more.
That would be the one.
To
That's
what
good.
The real choreography is here, what the real dance is, you know, what's flying, how much trust is going, how many motors are going up at once, how many guys, you know, are over there trying to move a wall because we put it in the wrong place when we, you know what I mean? Like, I have videos of these wonderful men lifting and moving scenic walls because we just got it wrong. We put it in the wrong place, you know? So
you've got it. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the ultimate, you know, as far as big picture. I mean, being able to say that we're going to make this happen right here, and we're going to put this trust here, and we're going to put this thing here, and we're going to do whatever is going to affect something that is 100 yards that way, you know, and you have to be able to do that. And that's not necessarily something. I mean, obviously you had to do that over time, you know, and understanding, you know, the logistics, no pun intended, the logistics of how all of this, you know, kind of worked out. But at the same token, there's also a very key thing that you have to have kind of a knack for that to be able to, you know, to be able to think. And it's not even 180, sister, man. You gotta think 360. Okay.
Yeah, to a certain degree.
Yeah,
yeah.
You got to think 360, you know, on something like
at
that.
At times.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I want you to dig your experience if you're in the friggin' cheap seats. You know, I always lived in the cheap seats. And I always hope and think about that. Like, if you're up in the nosebleed, wherever you want to call it, are you still experiencing this? Are you still touched by this?
Yes.
You know, can you see? Can you hear right? Is the bounce right? Is, you know, do we have the delay systems where it's really working right? You're not hearing those constant echoes. I hate when they cheap out on that stuff. It drives me nuts sometimes. But,
right.
You know, those are the things that if you've been to a concert and you hear those big echoes, you're hearing it later, you're seeing all those delays, you know, that's somebody that didn't do it right. You know what I mean?
And no.
I always try to, if we can't afford to do it right, let's make it smaller so it can be right. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, because you want the full effect.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can do all this, and what if 500 or 5,000 or 50,000, whatever it is, walk away going, that sucked. Well, was it worth it? No. If we would have just shortened it, if we would have said, okay, we can only fit 20,000 instead of 50,000, because it's always about money, I get it. I understand that. But right. The deliverable has to have integrity.
Of course it does. That's the best form of marketing. Are you kidding? Somebody turned around and says, yeah, that show blows. that goes a long way. Or that show was, oh my God, was absolutely out of the park. Amazing. Are you kidding? And, you know, and it was, you know, you get that idea that you missed, you know, when somebody hears that they missed out on something, you know, for instance. All right, I'm gonna pull one of your projects up. The stuff that you did, you know, for the AT&T Park, the Endless Summer Carnival that you did with Imagine Dragons and Train. That was crazy. Okay.
Yep.
Since we're talking about all the stuff we did, talk about that one.
Okay. That's a fun one. And that's my collaboration with Tom Berkey Presents, who, like I said, I work with him all the time. Again, his creative mind, and I tend to be linear. We also work with Bright Ideas, Greg Christie, a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you a little bit of an idea, there's a ground cover that they own that's very specific. There's a name for it. I can't remember what it's called. I'm sure Dan would be like screaming right now. But
of course.
It's designed. It's like a puzzle that you put together, and it covers the whole field.
Okay.
Now, that is $200,000, just the field cover and the labor to do that.
So
you have to, again, I really mean when you're in somebody's church, you're literally in somebody's church. There's irrigation systems, water systems. There's existing power. It's a stadium. You know, where do you tie in? So you design the show, maybe you, like a clock. You may have to turn it a little because that's where the power is. Or do you bring in your own power for the staging and rock and roll show and dedicated so there's no issues?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But, you know, that one I think was for 15 or 16,000 people.
Yes.
And we had to get them in and feed them and get them beer and all the stuff that goes with that at a rock and roll concert, you know, all within a 3-hour time. So Train and Imagine Dragons, Train is amazing to deal with. They're just a great bunch of guys professional and just kind, extremely kind. And we all know that isn't always the story. But Imagine Dragons, I didn't really get to know that well. I just kind of did the rider, did everything they needed.
Right.
We had a bunch of talent ops people. But again, they were big, but they weren't, they're huge now. But they were just really starting to arc then.
Okay.
And again, they came up with this idea of these two bands. And I was like, I would have never thought of putting these two guys together. I just wouldn't have.
That's the beauty.
It was a huge success.
The beauty. Two different styles, you know, as far as you're bringing in, you know, to expose, you know, one group of, you know, people to the other. The thing about the Endless Summer Carnival that you were able to do with Imagine Dragons and Chain, you know, it was, you know, you guys had fireworks going on, you know, you guys had, you know, you had games, you had arcade games, you had four carnival rides in the middle of this thing.
Just think about getting that through a loading dock that was never designed to be a loading dock. So it broke up into I don't know how many pieces.
Right. I mean, what are you
saying? And the weight distribution on it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everything had to be approved by three different tiers. Of course, AT&T Park, then you've got the city, then you've got the labor, and you've got electrical. I mean, there's a lot of things that are involved in getting that to happen or making that happen. It's a very detailed process.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. How many people got mad? I'm just kidding. You don't have to answer that.
There was one night that was a very difficult night on that gig where somebody assumed AM, I think, instead of PM for a call 11 o'clock PM. They were working overnight to help load in some stuff, and the crew didn't show up. That was fun.
Look, that was good.
Yeah, it was a good one. Checked the box of oh shit. So that put us behind starting the next day to almost 6 hours. So again, how do you deal with that? Because it's midnight. The guys are not going to be there. The call wasn't put out for whatever reasons. Again, if there were no problems, I wouldn't have a job.
There it
period.
Is.
And period. If there was nothing to work out, negotiate, deal with, you know, checkbook. I'm in charge of a very bizarre type of checkbook. That's it. You know, what do you do to catch up? You meet with your technical directors. You mean, okay, how can we double up on some stuff? How much is it going to cost us to go into overtime? You know, what can we do to, by the end of this day to be caught up instead of still behind 6 hours? What does that take?
Right.
What do we take away? Maybe we can't do something that we wanted to do and present it to the client and go, hey, you know what? This is what happened. We're behind. We're going to try to still do it, but if we can't, what can you live without maybe in this one particular area? You know what I mean? And that's where nobody would notice but us.
Right.
You know, that are in it.
But you have to notice those things, because you know,
yeah,
those little things that are so big to you, maybe you don't think anybody else will pay attention to. But if they all kind of, all of those moments combined, you know, will make it to where somebody like myself as a consumer, you know, as a you know, onlooker, you know, there will not be that impact that you're looking for, you know, if you don't pay attention mm-hmm. to those things, you know, and I get
and
that.
And unfortunately, in this day and age, you have to deal with, and I hate to always say it now, unfortunately, I mean, you now. A whole other line item, a whole other page of my budget is security and infrastructure now.
Oh, yeah.
I just did a show at LA Live, and getting downtown, it was a great gig. It was fun. We had a good time, but to get in there and close the streets, and with all the new rules are now, and this is unfortunately before Las Vegas, and I worked at that space so many times, I just can't even imagine what that was like.
Can't even.
But to do security now, and now I'm sure it's even going to be more intense because, you know, somebody like me, if I do shows where a president of somebody of high caliber shows mm-hmm. up, that just adds whole other layers to your gig.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, you have barriers so trucks can't come in and the new levels of security that come in. I mean, that's become its own entity now. It truly has. It's become its own person.
Wow.
You can have a gig. If nobody feels safe, nobody's going to hang out. If you don't feel safe, and I know we all say, it's not going to change our lives. Well, yes, it does.
It will.
How can I make you feel safe at the gig? How can I make you where you don't really see them, but they're there?
Right.
You know, how do you change that? You know, and what's the line item on that? I'm learning, okay, to really get high caliber security in place that's professional, that can blend, where you don't feel...
Yeah, you feel like
protected, but you are.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, you know, and that you don't. You know, it doesn't interrupt. You know, your normal mode of what you've got going on. And that's.
Yeah, I want you to see it, but I don't want you to see it. I want you to know you're safe, but I don't want you to see a gun,
right.
Although they're there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I get it. No, I completely get it. That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's a thing. With these events, you know, that you're having. Yeah, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
You know, and for some of the big, and it's like some of the big events that you've done. I'm like I said, I'm going through, you know, some of the stuff you've, you know, working as far as with the different groups, different artists, the GoDaddy mm-hmm. campaign, you know, that you did for mm-hmm. the All American theme holiday parties and stuff like that.
Yep. Oh, that was a lot of band. That was fun. That was with Extraordinary Events, which is another great company, and Andrew Michaels there, which is an incredible creative force. That was fun. It was Kid Rock, Dierks Bentley. I can't remember who else it was. Isn't that terrible?
No, you've done a fun gig.
You want to hear a funny story about that stadium?
Yes.
The Diamondback Stadium
yes.
has a roof that retracts. It takes, I don't know how many minutes to do it. But so the event was kind of cold. We had the event closed. I had 100 foot long and I think 60 or 80 feet tall, really essentially very fancy banners, you know, but I mean, they were banners and rigged. Now, what those really become are sails. Wind, big fabric, fall down fast.
Okay.
So what we didn't realize is when this roof opens up in the stadium, it creates almost a suction, a pull. So we had an engineer, God bless the guys at Bright Ideas and Chris and some people, Eric Wenzel over there, that were like, we have to open this up really slowly or these things will go down. And you know, how many K-rails can you support these structures essentially from falling over? And K-rails, you see them all the time. They divide the freeways in half. We
yes.
call them K-rails because they look like a K.
Yes.
Which are like 1 ton each to tie into.
Oh, God.
And, you know, again, just math and learning. And
yeah.
Kid Rock was great.
Not just
great to deal with.
That's a lot of stuff, though, and see, that's what, you know, that's what, you know, the general public and, you know, and in general, you know, people, and even, look, I mean, let's face it, even some of the people that you're doing the productions for, you know, the artist or, you know, the brand or whatever, they don't realize what it is when you're asking me to, you know, I want this to fly over there, and I want this to come busting out of the screen, and I want this to happen, right. You know, they don't realize what it is that you guys have to do, you know, in order to make this work, and, you know, And the fact of the matter is that, you know, there's a little science, there's a little intelligence, you know, there's a little creativity.
Lots of math.
Yeah, you know, that goes behind this, you know, this thought, you know, in order to make these things, you know, roll the way they're supposed to. And that's, you know, that's ultimately, you know, why we even, you know, Me doing the series that we're doing, you know, I get to talk to anybody and everybody, you know, from you know, a guitar tech to production managers, you know, to road managers, to, you know, a record producer or record recording engineers, to everything in between, and it's uh-huh. And it's so funny, you know, how, for me looking in, how everything runs so in tandem, and I'm like, does everybody not see this? Do you not see, you know what I mean? It's like, look, do you not see this? You know, do you not see how this all kind of all works together at some point? These, you know, and everybody's pretty genius at what they do. And, you know, mm-hmm. Because it, you know, it inspires that person to buy a record. It inspires that person to, you know, go buy that new outfit. It inspires that, you know, because they saw it on stage. It inspires that person mm-hmm. to have that moment, you know. It inspires a person to drop down on one knee and propose because the lighting was right. The curtain flew up right at the right time. And it was magical, and you saw sparkles, and it was like, okay, it's my sign. And I was like, okay, I'm going to ask her. You know, and it's just one of those things. There's just crazy moments, you know, that happen. And, you know, you do so much, you know, and it's a lot to stick in one head. That's a lot. Just on one side of the fence, that's a lot. That's a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you know, there are times it can really, I'll tell you, it's probably one of the most stressful things you can do. But I've said this, like, if I try and help people or hire people that are new, because obviously I was given a chance and I always try to pay it forward, and I'll never forget the opportunities I was given ever.
Perfect.
And I've always said, if you ever really are in this for lack of a better term, the glory, quit now, because you're not, that's not what it's about. I'm in it for when everything's together and you see it come together. I get this wonderful feeling inside when I see this. And I said to myself, the day I don't feel that way anymore is the day I'll stop. You know what I'm saying? Because if you become jaded and you start to roll your eyes or the things, which I've seen people do, and I get it, it's frustrating, it's not easy, it may not last forever, but if you lose that, there's a feeling that happens, I think, with all of us, where we sit back and tech, usually it's the night before the gig, and you're seeing tech and you're going cue to cue, and essentially you've had the kid, you're letting, everybody's doing their jobs, and you have to sit back and watch.
Wow.
In those moments before the crowd, before all that stuff, if you don't have that there's that feeling inside, then you might need to start thinking about doing something different, because you have to love it without anybody else's approval. You have to love it because you were a part, albeit maybe a small part or a big part, of something that maybe only happened for 4 hours, but that people will remember.
Yep.
And that's why I do what I do. It's the dark nights. It's sitting with the riggers on the back loading docks, just talking and thanking them for whatever they've done that day. You know, it's the visuals that really make things just unbelievably magical now, with what's going on with technology.
Yes. But
and that's all I want.
That's perfect.
It to feel good. I know that sounds really kind of...
No,
corny or
it's
whatever, but it's
not.
I want it to be something to you, you know.
Yes, no, and that's it. That's what I wanted to know. I mean, it's like, what does it mean to you? Yeah, and you said it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I totally get it. You know, and it's one of those things where, I mean, it's, you know, it's an art. It's no different than those people that get on the stage that, you know, strum the guitar and grab that microphone and start wailing a note. You know, and it's that, you know, I'm you know, you, they want just as much everybody to be involved with their moment and have an emotional thing. You do too. You know, this is I want to take you somewhere, you know, whether it's in your head, you know, wherever. I want to take you somewhere. I want to show you something. I want you to feel something. I want you to be something. I want you to be inspired by something, you know. And it's, you know, and it is, it's, you know, you get those butterflies in your stomach, you know, when you sit there and you're like, oh my God, this is like going to go off. Oh my God, this is so perfect. And, you know, and the song hits right at the moment where the light hits the stage the way it's supposed to, and all the hands go up in the air and stuff. And then you hear all of this, you know, all this crowd screaming and stuff, and you're like, they got it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an amazing feeling.
True. Yeah. There's nothing like it. It is a drug. I have to own it. It is addictive, because that feeling is just something I can't put my finger on, you know. But it's also that way for an event. I've done events for, you know, 100 people, you know, and right. It's a DJ and it's this, that, and the other. It doesn't matter how big, how small. What matters is, did it come off? What was that like? You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think I'm lucky. I've done some incredibly huge, massive shows that were just off the hook, insane. But I've also done some great, you know, conferences where it's two incredibly brilliant gentlemen speaking about something that I never knew about and help support those things. So it isn't always, yes, rock and roll is, of course, the best. But it's also those other shows. You know, don't say no to the little ones, because sometimes those are the ones that teach you, you know, more. You have to be more creative. The budget's smaller. You can't just throw more money at it and make it work. You know, there's smaller ways that it can impact. You know, you don't always, the bigger the show, yay, good on us, fun. But, you know, there's those little ones that really, you go, okay, there's no budget for this, but we got to fix it. So, you know, you can get caught up in the big ones, and it's incredible, but the little ones matter too.
Yes, they do. You know? They teach you everything you need to know. That's it.
Because bad sound at a coffee house gig is still just as bad as bad sound in the stadium. I don't care if I'm watching two people on a stage. Get the friggin' sound right.
That's it. We on the same page. Good job. Honey, I want to thank you so much for spending some time and sharing some of your world with me here on the show.
Thank you.
Are you kidding? And okay, we're friends. We've already decided.
Yeah, I got a new friend.
Yeah, we did.
Awesome.
You already know, like I said, because I told you I was going to be out in Las Vegas, you know, come March. So we've already decided we're going to meet up at that point and all this good stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, and we're going to make Dan in charge of it all.
love that.
neither one of us want to drive. Okay, we just want to be able to be. If there's anything that I can help you with on anything, you know, please let me know. You know, I'm going to be, you know, keeping up with, you know, all the cool things that you're stepping into and stuff. And of course, I'll be calling for some advice too, going, man, okay, this is what I got. What do you think?
I love that. I love to help people. I would be complimented if you did that. It's all good.
Good deal. Well, listen, sweetie, you enjoy your afternoon. I know that you're in the middle of some cool stuff. I know that you're in the middle of, you know, taking care of some business and work and stuff at the home and everything else. I want you to enjoy your day and stuff. And you and I, we're going to catch up here soon in the next couple of days on the phone, so don't worry about that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and start playing some more music and stuff and having some fun on the show. You need me, you call me, okay?
Always. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. The lovely Miss Evan Gray right here on Radio Memphis. You know, she has been part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series brought to you by Kim Barr Films and Radio Memphis. And again, this is where we've been taking that opportunity to, you know, have some fun and taking that opportunity to really, you know, do some things and show you guys what really happens sometimes behind the scenes. And there's no telling who we're going to be talking to. You know, she has just been a real joy to get to know. And again, as you heard, yes, we have become really fast friends. She's just really cool. She does some really cool things, and it's one of those, you know, you're gonna hear me probably call on her and ask her some advice, you know, on some of the things that, you know, that she's been able to, you know, do and be able to be a part of. And, you know, as a producer, as a logistics production manager, you know, for live event, you know, in concert industry, you know, she's done a lot of crazy stuff. So that was something that I personally had really learned from, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. All right. In the meantime, what we need to do is that we are in the middle of Radio Memphis around the world. So So let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and get back to some music. And of course, you know, here in a few minutes, we've also got a rock block coming from our artist of the month, little Angelia Ray. And yes, we've got some brand new music. We've got some Cats in Space. So you guys don't go anywhere. That's coming up right now, right here on Radio Memphis.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.